never filtered. Always fun.
I was on the bike today for the first time in years.
How does it feel?
Not good. I immediately remember why I stopped doing it. Because you know what happens with me? Tell me if this happens to you. Getting off the bike is really difficult.
Yeah, it's a complete outlier and it's only happens to you.
Well, that's why
you have trouble getting off a bike.
I don't know. I got like bike ass or something.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
You know Noodles is back in when the death metal is leading the show off.
What are you talking about?
Did you request this?
I did not, but I think Mulls felt guilty because do we call him out immediately on the show? Like, I pull in. I haven't been here in, what, weeks?
Yeah, you're probably in here second or third week of July for about 20 minutes, and then since then we haven't seen you.
Okay, so if I've been here for 20 minutes in the last six, seven weeks, apparently people have just been enjoying themselves parking in my spot. So when I roll in today, I bring in my buddy, we're going to do the TSN car wash. There's a Prius in my spot. I think it's a Prius, right? Is it? It's not a Prius? What is it?
Does that guy look like he cares about the environment? Does Mullen look like the kind of guy?
He'd be the guy smoking in a Prius.
Right, and doesn't believe in climate change. There's
him and Donnie Trump don't believe.
I'm pretty sure Mullen was in Phoenix at that rally last night and got back in time to park in your spot.
So it's a Sentra?
I don't know what it is.
What is it again? So there's a Sentra in my spot. And it frustrates me because I'm like, all right, I get it. I was fine with it once I found out it was Mullen. If it was like one of the goons in like the pit or something.
Like an intern at the Sports Center desk.
Yeah. Like backed in my spot or something. I'd be rattled. But actually, I'm 100% fine with it. And I actually just greased over into Dreger's spot.
That's the way to do it. Because Dreger hasn't been here either.
Yeah.
What if it was our buddy Jonas Siegel who's in here from the Canadian Press? If Jonas was parked in your spot.
I'd be fine. But Jonas, I feel, would have, he'd be like on a bike or something. There'd be like a bike helmet there or something. Are you on a bike? Are you
a bike rider? No, I'm not one of those people.
Good. Good.
Why?
We're
good.
On the same page.
I saw a guy last night. Let me paint a picture for you. All right, I'm on my way home. I had to stop and get gas out in the East End, Petro-Canada or whatever. Like, I'm not brand loyal when it comes to gas.
No.
Some people are. I've had this conversation with people where they only go to Shell.
Why?
Like, you're telling me you're almost going to run out of gas and you're going to blow past a Petro because it's not a Shell? But apparently people are brand loyal when it comes to gas. But I was at a Petro or an Esso or something like that. And there was a guy, I walk in, and he's in a heated argument with the guy working the till because I guess whatever gas station it was had just increased the cost of a pack of cigarettes that this guy buys every day. Went from $9.75 to $10.75, and he is yelling at this guy that that's not the cost. He comes in here every single day. And at the time, I'm thinking, okay, this is a man of principle. He's not going to pay the extra dollar.
No.
Because we live in a society where a lot of times we just say, forget it, we'll roll over, let the corporations have more of my money. So at the time, I'm like, this guy is principled.
Yeah.
And he storms out. He's like, forget it, I'm going somewhere else. I'll go to the other station 10 minutes away. So I'm thinking this guy's going to get out, get in his truck, drive away, give the finger to the guy. He gets on a bike and starts biking away. Like, this guy's going to bike 45 minutes to the next spot to save a dollar.
You know why? Because he's got two DUIs under his belt and he's biking. That's why.
To be honest with you, I think that's precisely what happened.
I guarantee you.
This guy smelled like a brewery and he was dying for a dart.
That may not have been his bike. It was probably the neighborhood kid's bike. And he's like, to hell with this. I'm not getting a third DUI. I'm just going to grab this bike, go and get some darts. And he only had $9.75. He had $10 in his pocket, and the guy's trying to ring him up for $11.
That's probably what it was. It wasn't even about principle. It's that he didn't have the extra 75 cents.
For sure.
I'm happy you're in here. You got your buddy Seneca in here.
Yes.
A couple of Edmonton boys.
Yes.
Is he an Edmonton guy or a St. Albert guy?
He's a St. Albert boy. All the good people from Edmonton slide into St. Albert, so I would consider Seneca one of them.
Have either of you ever been to a bar called Denison Hall?
Did you see that?
Did you see the fight last night?
Did you see that? Have you been to Denison Hall? He has.
Have you been there, Noodles?
No, I saw the picture on the news, and I was like, oh my God, the bride's in cuffs.
There was a bride and groom, I guess a wedding. I don't know who gets married on a Tuesday night, but
somebody who goes to the Denison.
That's what happened. I guess there's like a gritty bar in Edmonton. Have you ever been to Denison Hall when you're on the road with the Leafs?
You know how I do the nightlife. Not been there.
And he's out of control.
So anyway, I guess this couple got married and they went to this bar and got into a bar fight and got arrested.
So how's the wedding?
She's in her
gown,
like in a wedding dress, in cuffs,
and the husband was charged with assault and mischief or something. Like, it sounds like all hell broke loose,
right? And they were right in the middle of it, like instigating the whole thing. How Edmonton is that story?
That is Edmonton.
That is so Edmonton.
I was telling you guys off air. I was in Edmonton last week and ended up stumbling across a Metallica concert. So, it's
how much do you want to bet these two were at that concert?
Who?
The bride and groom.
Oh, for sure.
I guarantee you they were there.
That was probably their bachelor party. Bachelor and bachelorette party. Yep. They're at Metallica at Commonwealth Stadium.
You're right.
That was a scene. And I like Metallica. I've always loved them. I've been fortunate enough in the hockey circles to cross paths with them, like on a couple social levels. James Hatfield is, I think, is amazing. Like, he's just a quality people. But that concert was ridiculous.
Yeah, it looked like it was a pretty good crowd. Loud. They're doing the rounds, right? They're kind of on a big North American tour. I think they were in Toronto earlier in the summer.
Yeah, but they was good, and there was some grit. So talk about grit grinders. There was a lot of people who had flown in for it. Because luckily, I was staying with my mom. I was talking to my buddy who had flown in for some business. He had a tough time getting a hotel room. There were no hotel rooms in Edmonton, period.
Because people were flying in from Northern Alberta.
Everywhere.
And, yeah. To Metallica. Come down for Metallica.
Crazy.
So that would be where the Eskimos play.
Yep.
And I got another story that probably would
resonate myself with you, and Seneca.
Well, you guys have told your stories about sneaking Mickeys into football games. I was reading this about an hour ago. I guess some woman in some small town in the UK came up with a brilliant idea. She got caught, so I guess it can't be as brilliant as you would hope, but she was trying to sneak a Mickey into a racetrack, but the way that she was trying to smuggle it is genius. She built it into a salami sandwich. Like, she had a sandwich, and the Mickey, instead of, like, more meat or more ingredients, the ingredients was, like, a Mickey of vodka.
How did they find it?
Well, I guess the security guard was going through a bag and picked it up and was like, this is a 3-pound sandwich.
There's a baby in there.
Yeah, like, and open it up, and they were, like, flabbergasted. They didn't really do anything. They're like, we have to confiscate this, but I guess even the security guard was like, we salute you. Yeah. This is so brilliant.
That's probably in Edmonton, too, for sure.
Yeah. Somehow, sure. Someone from Edmonton living in the UK trying to sneak a Mickey into the racetrack.
That is awesome.
Anyway, good to have both you guys in here. Noodles, you're going to kick around for a while.
I kick around.
You're here all afternoon.
I thought of you yesterday when people were talking about Austin Matthews in the top 10 of the rankings.
How do you guys feel about that? The Hockey News had him 8th going into this upcoming season.
You want me to go first, Jones?
Yeah, you go first.
I thought it was a touch rich, but I can see it. I think if we're having this conversation 6 months from now, we're not even going to blink twice about it. I think it's a bit rich early on, but once we see by Christmas, he's not going to be out of that realm in that.
He'll be in that conversation.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's
top
what
10
I think
is what people think.
You have to remember this is a projection for this upcoming season.
Right.
How you expect, almost you have to think of it, how could you see yourself ranking them at the end of this upcoming season?
Right.
I think top 10 is totally reasonable. Jonas?
Well, what would prevent us from putting him in the top 10? Just his age, basically?
Well, or you support other guys, right? Like other players
who have
more.
Was Nick Backstrom in there?
I don't believe he wasn't ahead of him.
That's the guy that stood out for me as a guy who gets overlooked
always
constantly. But he's a guy who...
He was top 5, I think, in the league in scoring.
I think he's constantly is one of those consistent performers that gets overshadowed by Ovi's goals and gets overshadowed because he's a quiet player. He's just a quiet, effective player for me. But I thought... You know, here's a guy, and then, you know, you come back to the argument of centerman. Well, he's a centerman, too, and he's a pretty darn good one. So I thought, but I didn't have him, I wasn't appalled put it that way, in looking at the list, there's always guys who are like, I could see this guy a little higher, this guy a little lower. Like Bobrovsky was rich for me. Having Bobrovsky in the top 10, I know he won the Vezina, was up for the heart. Like, this is a guy who's a hell of a player. But to me, that was seasonal. And I think we've seen from Bobrovsky, he goes up and he goes down and he has injury issues. So
I'd be shocked if he was in the top 10 at the end of this
season. By the end of the year, yeah.
I just don't see it out of him. But they had Backstrom at 16 on this list.
It seems a bit high. It seems a bit high. Is he a top 10 centerman right now?
Matthews?
Yeah.
Absolutely he is.
Is he a top 5?
He would be on my list.
Okay, so let me name some centers. Crosby, yes. McDavid, yes. Malkin?
I'll put Malkin ahead of him.
I guess Sagan's going to be a center this year.
I'll take Matthews.
Okay. Taves, you'll take Matthews. Backstrom? Tavares?
Matthews, I think they're all in the same wheelhouse, though.
Yeah,
that's the
thing.
They're in a
similar boat. What I would say about that is I think I know exactly what Tavares is going to be. I know what Sagan's going to be. I know what Backstrom's going to be. Matthews is there right now after 1 year. What if he takes it another level?
Right.
Then he is up against... I don't see a scenario where at the end of the year he's with Matthews and McDavid, but I could see a situation... Or McDavid and Crosby, but I could see a situation where he's defined himself as the third best. Yeah. Where he's absolutely the third best center in the league. That would not surprise me at all.
The one thing I will say is you're right. We have one season of sample size for Matthews and... He blew it out of the water, for me, anyways, personally.
What could he have done that would have exceeded the expectations anymore? I don't know.
Nothing. Like, I mean, maybe drop the gloves a couple times. I don't know why. Just to get you know...
A little
just
bit
to,
of an edge.
To round him out. A little bit more edge, but that's not... I'm not going to even head down that road. All I'm saying is, you're right. He achieved everything, and it was one of those, like, almost perfect seasons for him. Now, is he going to have some challenges? I'm on record saying that I don't believe he'll get 40, but I believe he'll get more points. Because I think he's a really good passer, too. So he's going to get 75 points or whatever. I just may not... I think he's going to get, from a goaltender's perspective, there's going to be a lot more awareness to his shot, where he likes to shoot it and stuff. So I think... It wouldn't be a failure for him, for him, if he gets 35 and
75.
40. Yeah,
well, but do you guys think he was getting, like, I'm trying to remember in my mind, I think there was a point early in the year when, like, Van Riemsdyk was still getting, like, top defense pairs and stuff, and then it kind of shifted maybe, like, November. That's, like, day one. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and especially if he's got Nylander on his wing.
Yeah.
That's an absolute... first line. And if they have Marlowe on the other side,
right.
You better be looking at them as the number one line.
But I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle it if he, I don't know, because players struggle, players don't always score, if he starts off the year in like a little bit of a funk. And I think that's where like a Babcock kind of helps because he kind of is pretty strategic and kind of deflecting and
There were times last year where Matthews was struggling.
Yeah, pretty early.
But his play was still strong. Because he was good in his own zone. And what happened was, that's when Babs started saying, hold on a second here. This guy is, you know, he's going to be the best player by Christmas. And there was, you know, there was, like, there to me, I think Babs did a really good job of trying to deflect and place him in situations where he could have that success. To your point, Jonas, day one, these guys aren't surprising anybody. Like, Marner is going to get a lot of attention. Matthews is going to get a lot of attention. Nylander doesn't say that they can't break through it because they're talented enough and they've got enough depth up front. Because if they get enough attention, well, Kadri better be in good shape because he may get some open ice. JVR, vice versa. You know, we were talking about my buddy Seneca. Well, Senny knows Patrick Marleau. Like we have mutual friends that are very close with Patrick Marleau. Here's a guy who all eyes are going to be on when he gets to Toronto. Not because of what he's done, it's what he's going to be able to do with this group at 36 years old. And, of course, the contract and the salary comes. And I'm praying secretly for him that he has a real good start. Because if he doesn't, we're going to be talking on this show.
Highest paid guy on the team.
Highest paid.
He's also a really, well, you would know. Like, he's a quiet guy.
Very. This market, like.
It's different for him.
I personally thought when I saw Marlowe signing her, I thought it was a great signing, and I thought he's a terrific player. But if you know the person, like, his personality isn't. He's
makes
not
you
PK
wonder
Subban.
Why. Makes you wonder why he wanted to do it.
Well, here's a prime example. Where the Leafs are and where they think you're heading and where people in the league perceive where they're heading. So here's a guy who's played 18 years in the league in the in California in a real quiet market and had some success.
Also a really good team, like a perennial playoff team.
Very good team.
Cup final 2 years ago.
And says, you know what? I want to get on that train. Before this is done, I want to try and give myself a chance to win. And I've been in an organization that's had a chance, and I'm going to jump on a train that's moving pretty quick here.
So well, it also might be a lesson not to judge a book by its cover. I mean, maybe throughout these 18 years, there has been a burning passion within him where he always wanted to play in a conventional hockey market.
Sure.
Didn't have to be Toronto necessarily. Maybe Montreal was that team, or Edmonton or Calgary or whatever. Even a team in the northeastern United States. You go to the Rangers or Boston or whatever.
Right.
But it wouldn't shock me. Guy is a Canadian. He spent his whole career in a market that has like one paper and a couple of beat guys. If maybe there was a part of him that was always thinking, I'd love to experience that.
Really?
But in order for that to make sense, the money's got to add up, but also the opportunity's going to add up.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go to a spot that does have a chance at being successful. And by all accounts, I mean, that's where the Maple Leafs are right now.
Absolutely.
But I think the thing, to go back to Matthews, is now there's expectations. Like,
for sure.
Last year, to be fair, he scored 4 goals in his first game. He, like, expectations jumped right away.
Blew out of
But now it's like you've won a Calder, you scored 40 goals. How are you going to follow that up? Especially here, where Toronto hasn't had, I mean,
a superstar
Sundin,
like
they that. Haven't. Like, Sundin was the last guy in that ballpark, unless you want to include Phil, which I don't. So you haven't had a guy with this kind of expectation, this kind of potential ceiling. If it doesn't work right away, I think that's where it sort of gets interesting to watch, but I don't think it will be.
I think he's such a different beast. I think the way he handled everything last year.
Right.
He's also
players.
Good. Like, he's not. But
that's another thing. This wasn't a fluky, wow, where did this come from? This is a guy who's drafted in the third round 3 years ago that had a great year. This guy went first overall. He's been a phenom all the way up. He was highly touted.
You're expecting
performed.
It out of him.
You expect it to continue. And these special players have a way of just continuing to evolve. They don't get flustered by anything. Because everything was thrown at him last year. Mm-hmm. Like, first overall in this market coming off 30th overall, and apathy in the fan base, and the marketability that immediately was there for him. They make it to the playoffs, so he got that experience. I mean, he really went through
what
the car wash a year ago in terms of NHL experience right off the hop.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, the only thing that he didn't have, and this is tough, but, like, there wasn't pressure on the team. And so now, like, remember he had the 13-game drought, and it was sort of like a thing, but it wasn't because the team wasn't expected to do all that much. Now you go 13 games where the team is expected to win, and the team is expected to be good. Suddenly it becomes more of a distraction than it might have been the past.
You're right, though.
I don't think this is a big deal, but I just think
it is a difference, though. You're absolutely right. Last year they were not expected to be a playoff team. This year they are.
And I'll add one thing on that. Say he has to go through 13 games. Now he has to talk every day. Like, this is the one thing. Like, this is, and it may not be the biggest thing in the world, because I think he's pretty polished and handles himself quite well. But he's considered a veteran, so that rookie rule of, hey, you know, like, you're going to be in scrums, and, you know. I know. We'll see that. Jonas, you're going to be front and center.
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to handle it?
How do you think they're going to?
I don't know. I could see it going either way. I could see them saying they're still young players and not going to talk. I don't know. Lou Lamoriello can do whatever.
There's no rules.
Can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, like, the NHL is not going to find them if they don't make them available.
And
all
you can
the
debate
time.
Whether they should, but if they just come out and say, you know, those guys are still young players, Nylander, Marner, Matthews not talking, what are we going to do? Nothing.
Yeah, because that's the one thing I continue to think. When you said he's bust through everything, you're right. But there weren't times where he's been in a scrum and somebody's asked a tough question. Not that you had to, because he why would you ask him a tough question? But if he goes 10 games and seems to be pressing and struggling a little bit, like, there may be, because of the expectation level, a little tougher questions, a little bit more pointed towards him. Will they continue to shield him, or will he have to kind of learn as it? Because he's going to have to do that as a captain anyways, whether they name him Christmas or next year.
Doesn't
or whatever.
Matter. Yeah, totally, to man. People know who the leader on the team is.
Right.
People know who the focal point is.
But it's going to be the same thing with Babcock. Like, this is going to be the first year with Babcock, where there's really expectation on his team.
But he's handled that before in Detroit, in Anaheim.
It's not the same in Detroit or Anaheim.
You're right.
And he's really good at it. Like I think he plays his cards pretty well with that way. But suddenly when you're expected to do well, I think that dimension changes.
There's no question. The line of questioning is different. The tone is different. But I'm not worried about Babcock handling it.
No. None of this really matters in the big scheme of things.
But Patty Marleau, that's a point. Patty Marleau, it was it 2 or 3 years ago where we were kind of joking on our show saying the Toronto Maple Leafs were a tire fire and the Toronto Maple Leafs West were the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, it was at least three
because
years ago.
Because Marleau and Thornton had been stripped of the captaincy. They had so much of, I think Thornton came out and told the general manager, Wilson, to shut his mouth. And like, it was a gong show.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, like, if that was in a Canadian market, it would just be a circus. But there was, you know, 2 or 3 beat writers covering it. We'd get the news, but really, yeah, you care, but you don't care. But that's what's so interesting for me is the adjustment Patty Marleau will, you know, going into a scrum where there's 6 people total in San Jose, other than playoffs,
if that,
to walking in on a Tuesday after practice and they don't play till Thursday, and there's 48 people.
But you've been there. Like, how does that make a difference on like your day to day life? It's just something in your mind that you have to think about. And now,
okay. Keep in mind when I came to a Canadian market, I'd come from like the first time around Minnesota, an expansion team, crazy, you know. But I'd played most of my career, all of my career, in the States. Then I come to a Canadian market. You certainly could feel it now. Still different now today. Information is instantaneous because those reporters are live tweeting it. There's so many more streams. When I went to Calgary, I think in 01 or 02, I noticed it, but it was times 5. Marleau is going from times 50.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I believe. Just you're coming to the biggest media center in hockey, period.
I think what he benefits from, though, is that, and I was talking about this last week, the idea of Tavares and if he were to come here, how it's changed compared to the Stamkos situation and even the Rick Nash situation 4 or 5 years ago where he was on the block and a lot of people were hoping he might end up in Toronto, is, and Marleau's to a lesser extent because he's an older guy.
Right.
But he's not the man. He's not walking in expected to be a savior. He's not walking in expected to be the man. If he's on the third line, people aren't going to flinch.
Right.
And I think that also makes it a lot easier of a transition because no one is expecting Patrick Marleau to lead this team anywhere. He doesn't have to score 40. He doesn't have to sell jerseys. He doesn't have to be the guy who gets people out of his seat because it's Matthews' team, and then it's Marner's team, then it's Nylander's team. And you might argue it's Kadri's team, Anderson, Riley's team, and Anderson, and then Babcock. Like, he's so far down the list.
But the only,
and this is a guy who's a potential Hall of Famer, like borderline Hall of Famer, who's played on Canada for multiple gold medal-winning teams, huge hockey profile.
Yeah.
And if he came here 4 years ago, it would be the Patrick Marleau show every single day of the week.
Right.
He's got to play center because they need a number one center, and he's got to be the man, and he's got to do this, that. Now it's like, oh, he's on the third line, whatever, who cares?
The only thing that you could look at him, if he's on the third line, you're going to say, why are we paying six something
and
for
that's
a third liner?
Inevitable.
On a 3-year deal.
And it is a lot of money for a guy who I think at some point over this contract will be a third liner if he's not
I don't
already.
Think that's a big deal. I know it looks like a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal.
As long as he can still perform.
Right.
Like, it was a big deal when Clarkson was on the third line because of the payment and because he wasn't even performing like a third liner.
Right.
But if you have so much depth that guy has to be on your third line, that's actually a good thing.
And you have
in the grand scheme of things.
Rookies, but you have Nylander, Matthews, Marner, what? On entry level.
On the cheap.
There's so many, there's so many.
It washes out a little
point.
Bit.
You're right. There's so many other folks. They're not going to be hard pressed to get that extra player because of Patrick Marleau's money.
No, that's how it used to be. Like in years past, I remember they would get this new player and he would be exactly like Hayes said. He would be like the center attraction every single day. I remember Jason Blake came and he was the big new thing and everybody wanted to talk to him every day, every day, every day. And that won't be the case. Like, if you were doing a pecking order for me of, guys I wanted to talk to on the first day of camp, he might be, 12th, 10th?
See, I don't think he'd be that low for day one because it is a new experience. It's a new story.
Right.
I don't think that's the case right off the hop, but I think 10 games into the season.
Yeah, I was going to say 3 weeks in.
Yeah, it's Matthews, Marner, Nylander, he's probably 10th, 11th, 12th, realistically. Like, it's still an interesting story because it's new blood and he's Patrick Marleau.
Exactly.
Why did you come here? How's he going to fit in? And compared to what we had a year ago where it seemed like there were a million different angles, there aren't that many. We were just talking about that in the break. This has been a really boring offseason for the Maple Leafs.
And for the NHL.
That's good, though.
Compared to the other league.
Yeah, well, in the NBA, we'll get to that in a moment. But why do you think that's good, for the Leafs in particular?
Because I don't want to hear any stories of guys getting pinched for this. Or
I like that was always your first reaction to the summer. I thought you were going to say when you mentioned that off air that you didn't want to hear of them making like a bad trade or a bad signing. No. It was like, I don't want to hear of any guys
I don't
guys want
getting... to hear of a guy like, you know, pissed drunk, passing out in the middle of, you know,
university? Mardi Gras or something.
Yeah, right at university or something and no pants on. You don't want to hear that because guys live their lives in the off season. I wanted them to be under the radar because this is a city where, you know, you can snap a photo of somebody gooned or you can snap a photo of this and that. And there's, you don't even know the context of it. That's the thing. If you can skate through summer and there hasn't been any of that
like
type
a Patrick
of,
Kane.
Yeah. I mean, those are extremes, but like where you've gotten
like
through.
Like Ryan O'Reilly a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Drives, you know, smashes into a Tim Hortons or something. Something like that. It's unfortunate and it happens and hopefully guys learn their lesson, but you're always, when you're dealing with young guys, and keep in mind, these are young professionals just getting a taste of real success. Like, you know, they go home and I know Mitch Marner grew up here, but there's a lot of distractions. He may go to a party and it's a great time or something and something happens there and you get affiliated with, look at the storylines that come out of, you know, the NBA, the NFL and that. And there still is that type of stuff in the NHL as well. I'm not absolving them from it. You never want that.
Yeah. And from a team building standpoint.
Yeah.
If you're making a million moves, that means generally it's because you were awful and you have to make a million moves. Would the Leafs have liked to have improved in areas? I'm sure they would have. But if it's a quiet offseason and you were a playoff team the year before,
it means they're comfortable.
Probably means they're comfortable, which is a good thing. All right, buddy, good seeing you. I guess you'll be back in here
September 5th.
September 5th. You and the O-Dog will be in here, too.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to have you, buddy. Go kick Mullins' Prius.
Yeah.
Out of the way.
Yeah, with the carton of smokes in the front seat.
Yeah. Make sure you leave your mark on his car.
Yeah.
He can park there for a week and a half, but after that, no dice.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
Sounds good.
There's Jamie Noodles, McLennan Noodles, and the O-Dog back September 5th, day after Labor Day. Jonas Siegel in here from the Canadian Press. Big news in the NBA last night. We'll touch on that. Big news in the MMA world as well. And Kevin Pillar tossed in the third inning last night. The relationship between players and umps continues to be a dicey one in Major League Baseball. We'll tell you about that, too. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Steve Phillips will join us in about a half an hour. Chael Sonnen on the show in an hour. The champ, Lennox Lewis, in the 6 p.m. hour. We got a great program lined up. Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press in here. Good to see Noodles talking some Leafs off the hop. He and O-Dog will be back in a couple of weeks. But the NBA continues to steal the summer. Big trade last night. We'll look at all the different angles and where the Raptors come into play on this. Some big news in the MMA world. Kevin Pillar gets tossed last night. But we'll touch on the trade, what this means for the NBA, what it means for the Raptors in 2 minutes. Well, it's been an incredible offseason for the NBA. Just in terms of keeping people interested in your brand and
but tell me before we get into it, because I think that's true, like Chris Paul, Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas, why does it matter? Like, why does it matter that you keep your fans engaged through the summer? Like, where are you profiting from that? And we can compare it to the NHL, where basically not much has happened.
Well, there's a lot of different ways in which you're profiting. What you're going to do is build the anticipation for the upcoming season.
That's true.
Because I want to see how all of these players are going to look in their new uniforms and play with their new teams. You're also going to make money because fans are going to buy the jerseys.
Okay.
Right? And I think we live in a clickbait world where NBA.com, I'll bet you, has benefited greatly. There's a lot of different ways in which you always want to be at the forefront. Like, why would you ever want to disappear? Why would you ever want to be completely off the radar?
Well, I ask you because, like, I kind of looked at it in the summer with contracts in the NHL and the NBA. How in the NBA, contracts are really short. Like, the max is 5 years. If you sign a player who's not your own, it's 4 years. In the NHL, it's 7 and 8. And we see, without almost exception, players in their second contract just sign for the max. Like Dreisaitl, McDavid. It'll happen eventually with Matthews. And I just wondered, like, what the NHL would be like if stars were trading places more often. Like, if Connor McDavid became an unrestricted free agent earlier, or Sidney Crosby was ever available for anybody to sign.
It would be a much more interesting league.
Never, ever happens.
It never happens.
Tavares is, like, potentially going down that road, but he probably will end up re-signing.
Well, the reason it doesn't happen is because the players never leave.
But
that's
why
it doesn't happen. I don't know. I mean, it's, I guess, just...
What's the difference?
Different makeup, different approach to the business. I really don't have the answer. There isn't an obvious answer.
Do you think it's loyalty? Like, in hockey culture, you are taught, basically, from a young age, to be loyal to your team.
I guess partially. I mean, the NBA is built up based on individual success a lot more than in the NHL. And in the NBA, you also... The top guys, and those are the ones that are actually interesting, those are the guys that you talk about when they move, there is so much more money off the court. Mm-hmm. The endorsement money in the NBA is ludicrous. So I think guys are willing to move and leave money on the table because they can make it up tenfold off the court. That doesn't happen in the NHL. You make all of your money primarily from your team's contract, and if your team can give you an extra year or maybe find more money for you because they cherish you that much more, value you that much more, it makes more sense economically. But this is more, what we've seen is trades. Like, Chris Paul effectively got dealt, and Paul George got traded. He still had a year left on his deal. Boogie Cousins got dealt after the All-Star break. He had time left on his deal. Both Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving have years left on their deals. And the reason why all of these teams, for the most part anyway, have decided to make these trades is partially because maybe it made sense for them in the moment. Maybe the player wanted out right now. But I think they also feared that player was going to leave them down the road.
Which gets back to contracts. Contracts are shorter. So, like, if you know in a year from now, like, Paul George still has one more year, but they knew.
But the NHL gambles. Like, the NHL in that situation wouldn't trade their guy a year out. They'd say, you know what, we're going to wait and try to sign him still.
Yeah.
Like, look what happened with Stamkos, where he waited the full year. He got all the way to free agency. He could talk to other teams, and he got spooked and said, forget it, I'm going back. So I think teams know, for whatever reason, players aren't going to leave, or they feel very comfortable or confident that they can get that guy done. Get that guy signed. In the NBA, they don't have that confidence. They're always concerned. Look at LeBron. LeBron, it feels like he's going to leave again.
Yeah.
He left Cleveland, then he left Miami, now he might leave Cleveland again. We might see three different free agency moves from LeBron James. Three from the face of the NBA for the past 15 years.
Well, and then you trace back off seasons. It's like this one, we've had the guys we mentioned. The year before, we have Durant. The year before that, or 2 years before that, we have LeBron. Like, it's just like every summer, a great player moves. And, like, the one exception we had in the NHL was P.K. Subban. That one, like, crazy stretch where Subban and Weber get traded, Hall gets traded, and then Stamkos decides to resign.
And how interesting was that?
It was amazing.
It was fascinating.
It was so much fun.
And I couldn't wait to see how P.K. was going to play, how Weber was going to play, how Hall was going to play. I have always made this argument that it is in the NHL and the NHLPA's best interest to find a way to instigate more trades. But there's no way of putting it in the CBA.
No, you have
forcing
to shorten contracts.
You can't do that. But even if you shorten them, the guys may still keep re-signing every 5 years or every 4 years.
I think it's less likely, especially like if you don't. I don't know.
I don't think so, because guys don't walk as free agents. They don't walk as free agents.
But you played,
and they don't demand trades.
You played pretty high up. Like, what do you think it is about the culture?
I don't know. I mean, look at McDavid yesterday. The Hockey News gave him the honor of being ranked the number one player in the league, and he couldn't even accept that. He was like mortified. Like, as quickly as he could, he downplayed that and said, no, let's not get crazy. It's Crosby who's number one. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just in the DNA of the hockey world. But as for the NBA and this deal last night, I got to be honest, I think both teams made the right move here. In the era of hot takes and pick a side and go down with the ship, I think Cleveland made a brilliant trade because it felt as if they were in a position where they knew they had to make this deal this summer. The Kyrie-LeBron-Kyrie-Cavs relationship was untenable, and that put them behind the eight ball in terms of leverage because the other teams in the NBA knew, okay, you're looking to unload them. Maybe we won't give you everything you're looking for. For them to come back and kill two birds with one stone, the here and now, bringing in Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, two very good players. And Crowder's an underrated player, too. He's a quality wing, three-point shooter, can defend. I still think Cleveland's the best team in the East and the team to beat in the East and the team I would put money on to make to the NBA Finals even after this trade. And they get the Nets pick, which will more than likely be top three or top five next year. So let's say LeBron walks and Isaiah Thomas, who's a free agent, decides to walk too. All of a sudden, scorched earth, build it back up from the ground all the way up, is already in motion because of this trade that just took place.
But my first thought was, for Boston, like, that they got the best player in the trade.
They did. And that's why
and
I
that's
like
why
it for
it's
Boston.
So weird. Yeah, I guess that's why it's good
that's
for
Boston. That's why I'm
teams.
Fine with it from Boston.
Yeah.
I think maybe because of the Paul George trade and how Indiana traded him for like 60 cents on the dollar.
Well, and Indiana said they weren't apparently going to trade him to anyone in the East, which made zero sense. You just had a trade now with the two top teams in the East.
The first and second place teams in the East. Crazy. The two teams that met in the Eastern Conference Final just made deals because it made sense for them. The idea of, you're right, cutting off half the league.
Just because like you might play him a couple times a year. And
you're Indiana.
30.
You're not doing anything. You're not a very good team. It doesn't matter. Like, if you make that deal with a high-end team in the East, it's not going to affect you right now. Do whatever is in your best interest for the short term and the long term. But because of the George deal, and how underwhelming the return was for Indiana. You'd even go back to the Boogie Cousins deal and how it feels like Sacramento didn't get enough. It makes Boston maybe look as if they were a bit overzealous. They overpaid a little bit here. But you've got Kyrie Irving, who I think is a better player than Isaiah Thomas, who is bigger. He's had some durability issues as well.
But Isaiah is tiny.
Isaiah's 5'9", like 160, coming off a bad hip injury. A free agent at the end of this year. And you're getting Kyrie Irving for three more years at a great cap.
And he's younger.
And he's 3 years younger. So now, if you're Boston, you're looking at it, you're building around Irving, Hayward, Horford, Marcus Smart. They kept Tatum. They kept the Brown kid. They picked third overall last year. They've still got picks. They got the Lakers pick in the next few years. They got a Memphis pick in the next few years. They've got some cap flexibility. I think both teams remain close to the same as they were last year, and this is the first and second place teams in the East, and long-term Boston's in a good spot. If LeBron and Isaiah Thomas leave, long-term the Cavs can at least explain the trade because they felt like they had to make it, and they get the prospect, the big center out of Europe, and Brooklyn's first pick this upcoming
year. For them
year.
To get all that,
it's a great deal.
Like, when you know you have to trade him, but, I think it speaks to the power of LeBron that they didn't get the best player in the trade. And I still think if they match up in the Eastern Conference Finals, Cleveland is the overwhelming favorite.
Flipping Thomas and Crowder for Kyrie Irving doesn't change anything for me.
But
in terms of that matchup.
That's the other thing. They're still not good enough to beat Golden State.
No, they're not.
And that's like when you look at their summer and you look at all the chaos that they had with David Griffin leaving, not getting Paul George, they're still second.
And as for the Raptors, this is a worst-case scenario as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they are 2-3 years away from going scorched earth themselves and realizing at that point they're too old. Lowry's deal will be coming up. Ibaka's deal will be coming up. DeMar will be over 30. And they are going to have to potentially turn things over and hope to retrieve high-end picks and high-end prospects. And if LeBron leaves and Isaiah Thomas leaves, Cleveland will be ahead of them in that department. Mm-hmm. With the Brooklyn pick and with their own pick. And Philly's obviously well ahead of them. And Boston is built around a young core. They're going to be very good for a number of years. Washington is on par. Milwaukee's upcoming. I don't like this deal from any perspective if you're a Raptors fan.
Well, I think it was Messiah on this station said that they called about Kyrie. I was trying to think of it from a Toronto's perspective, what they would have to give up to get Kyrie in some fantasy deal. So you'd have to start with Lowry, and I don't even know if you can trade him because he just got signed.
But I don't believe you can.
Let's say you could.
Hypothetically
speaking. You'd start with Lowry. You would have to include, who else would you have to include? You have to use a future first.
A couple
of the young guys. It's still not enough.
Like, I don't honestly know if they could put a package together with dollars and cents as well.
But I think Lowry's better than Isaiah Thomas. Like,
I think they're around the same.
Same ballpark.
But I think I could make sense of that if I was the Raptors bringing in Kyrie Irving. The way the NBA is working, I mean, scoring point guards, that is the game now. You look at Curry and Harden and Westbrook and Irving, and even Lowry does that. John Wall does that, too. And he's younger. And I think he has more scoring prowess than any of the scoring point guards outside of Steph Curry. He's got an outside shot. He's got a mid-level game. He gets to the basket. He can be physical. I'm a fan of Kyrie Irving. I think the Celtics are in a really good spot moving forward.
But are you okay with the Raptors kind of being boxed in now as just probably a 50-win team?
They're going to win. They're going to go to the playoffs.
It's
going to be the same show that we've seen the past couple of years, which has entertainment value to it, but is also fairly predictable.
Yeah. It's like the Atlanta Hawks or...
You know what the ending's going to be.
That's
a difficult sales pitch. Doesn't mean it can't be a good movie, but if you know the ending, I do think it adjusts the way that you approach the season. Steve Phillips in about 20 minutes. The Jays back in action tonight. Marcus Stroman on the mound for the Rays. Catch up with Steve, and Chael Sonnen will join us in about 45 minutes. Overdrive continues on TSN 1050.
It's time for the championship battle in TSN 1050's Sound Wars.
Oh, what a hit that was!
This is the worst one for sure.
All right, Jonas, very special moment. We're down to the championship portion of the bracket. And the best soundbite battles the best on-air moment. And you get to decide the winner of TSN 1050's Sound Wars, brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager. So it is soundbite number 3 versus on-air moment number 7. You ready for these?
Go ahead.
All right. You sound like you're really locked in here. We're looking forward to this. Let's hear soundbite seed number 3.
How's your breath? It's not good, eh?
No, I meant in terms of conditioning.
Oh.
Phil. The best thing is the next one features me. It's like my own clip, and I would vote for Phil every day of the week. Versus on-air moment number 7.
The first pick goes to the Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Leafs.
The Leafs.
They did it, Naylor.
There you go, Jonas.
It was purely authentic. That's why I think it was good.
Yeah, it was.
But Phil destroys you.
Yeah, Phil, it was so awkward. And
he's had a lot of good one-liners.
He's been brilliant down in Pittsburgh.
Thanks.
Where was that in Toronto? Where was that in Toronto?
He did have this guy such an idiot.
Yeah, which probably is my favorite line ever. Go to tsn1050.ca, click on Sound Wars, and vote for your favorite. Soundbite seed number 3, taking on-air moment seed number 7. So you got Kessel's It's Not Good, eh? Versus They Did It, Naylor. Voting for this championship battle closes Friday at 8 a.m. Sound Wars on TSN 1050 is brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager at select Loblaw grocery stores. Hour 2 up next, Steve Phillips and the great Chael Sonnen at 5:30. Jonas Siegelin here from the Canadian Press. I'm Brian Hayes. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.